Amen. Hallelujah. He is our great defender. He is our sword. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is everything that we need. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that no matter what goes or no matter what comes, that He's still on our side. That He is our strong tower that the righteous can run into and be safe. Hallelujah. He's our mighty defender. He keeps us in every way. Hallelujah. That He would bear us up on wings of eagles, that we would run and not faint. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we have a God on our side. And so today I pray that you have the same God on your side, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, who is expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's many gods running around today, but the one that we declare and we lift up is the one who comes in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that is revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we put our hope in whom we trust today, in whom we believe, in whom we know that has delivered us, who has set us free, the one that loves us, the one that cares for us, the one that defends us, the one that died a free man, the one that died an innocent man for a guilty people. That's the one that we serve today. That's the one that we know will keep us in every way. No matter what goes, no matter what comes, He's our mighty defender. He stands at guard, ready to defend us against every enemy, against every attack, against everything that would stand against us, that would stand against His church. He stands ready and able. Hallelujah. And so we bless everyone that's come up before me that prayed and that worship. We thank God for that time of worship. Hallelujah. That we would magnify the King, that we would lift Him up, that we would make Him large. In our eyes, He's already large. He's bigger than anything that we could even imagine. But I'm thankful that praise and worship begins to enlarge Him in your eyes. And so my prayer is that you were enlarged, that your sight of Him was bigger than when you woke up this morning. And maybe you didn't have a lot of hope, and maybe you didn't have a lot of faith, and maybe you didn't know what today was going to hold for you. But I pray that He was enlarged to help you to see that He's bigger than anything that you're facing, anything that you will face, and anything that you faced in your past. We serve a mighty God who is more than able, more than willing. I love His names. I love His names that begin to talk about who He is, that there is no one beside Him. Understand that. Just think about that for a moment. Well, this is not my message, but I want you to just think about that. No one stands beside Him. See, all of us have equals. All of us have someone that can do what we can do in our jobs and ministry, in our lives. There are other mothers, other fathers. You know, there are other uncles, there are other sisters, there are other CEOs, there are other business owners. There are equals. There are people that do the same things that we do. There are other preachers and pastors and apostles and drummers and everybody. We all have an equal. But God says, literally, there's no one that stands beside Him. Isn't that good news? There's no one that can come and be His equal and say, well, we're not going to do this today. We're not going to win. Your people are not going to win. The ones that trust you and love you, and the ones that do everything that you've asked them to do, we're not going to do that today. I think about Job and how even the enemy had to have permission. So today I need you to know that if you're experiencing anything, trauma, crisis, whatever it may be, loneliness, is that God knows and God sees, and that God will provide in every situation if we will just trust Him. If we'll be full of hope, full of peace, full of trust, that He will do it. Amen. Again, we bless God. And we give God a hand clap of praise right there where you're at. Yeah, this is just like we're in church. Yeah, we're going to praise God. Hallelujah. We're gonna clap. Maybe you haven't clapped your hands since you've been in quarantine, but I need you to clap your hands. That we serve a God that no one stands beside Him. No one can force His hand, and no one can pluck you out of His hand. Amen. That's why you can clap your hands, because He's been enlarged. He's been made large in our sight. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm so glad to be before you once again. Amen. because I feel like this is a word that God has given me for the place that we're at right now. And we welcome you to Remnant Community Church. Amen. Where I'm the pastor, Josh Brown. I thank God for my wife. The pastor's alongside me. She's out right now. She had to have a procedure earlier this week. But I ask you all to continue to pray for her as she continues to recover and continues to do well. Amen. We thank God for her and that God is healing her and the procedure went well. And so we're just believing that God would continue a quick recovery in her case. Amen. And so, again, today we're going to be talking about, are you ready? Amen. Are you ready? And so last week we talked about being ready for what is going on right now. That we can't neglect the things that God has called us to prior to the pandemic, prior to the quarantine, prior to everything that's going on with racial injustice and all the crises that are going on right now. Our world is in turmoil, but we, as the believers of God, have to be ready. So this month I'm going to be talking about, are you ready? A lot of different facets that whatever God would give me about being prepared and being ready. And so today what I want to talk about is being ready to hope again. Amen. Being ready to hope again. So many times we are faced with all these crises. And crises are not anything new, but the ones that we're experiencing right now, we have not experienced before. We have not found ourselves in places of quarantine, in places of isolation, in places of such unknown for such a long period of time. We've never really experienced quarantine in this fashion. And so what this can lead to is fear, right? What this can lead to is a sense of wanting to know what is going to happen next. So we try to read, and we try to look at all these stories on Facebook, and we try to look at the news, and we try to look at everything in order to do what? To get information. What's next? That's everyone's questions. What's next? What's going on? What's going to happen? Where are we at? Are the cases going up? Are they going down? Should we wear a mask? Should we not wear a mask? What should we do? Coupled with the fact that now we're at a place where God is opening up to reveal the racial issues that have always existed here in America. So you compound those two things, and all of a sudden, it begins to like, what's going on? We're in crisis. We're in a state of unknown. And that can be fearful. Because we, as just humans, want to know what is going to happen next, right? We want to know the end of the story. We want to know what's going to happen to us. We want to know that we're comfortable. We want to know that we're going to be at peace. We want to know all these things. And that's just a human trait. That's just a trait that every person wants to know. Like, I need to know what all I need to prepare for, what I need to do, how I need to be thinking, what I need to find myself in the right place so that when trouble comes or problems come or whatever, we're always trying to eliminate problems, and that's not a bad thing. Planning is not bad. Looking in the future, saving, doing all those things. But right now, we are at a place with lots of unknowns. Lots of natural unknowns. Lots of natural concerns. Lots of natural even fears of what will happen next. And when we feel like we know the end, that brings comfort and peace, right? We can be honest. When we know that, hey, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, all right. You know, if somebody was to come out today and say, hey, you know, in 60 days, you do this, everything will be fine. Majority of people would do that 60 days worth of whatever in order to ensure at the end it was okay. But we're not at that place right now. We're not at the place where naturally we can do X, Y, and Z and it will get better. Now, there are things we know that we can do as it relates to COVID, wearing masks, sanitizing, and social distancing, all those things that we know and we hear, all those things should be followed and should be done and all those things. But again, even the experts don't know all the answers, right? They don't know everything. And so putting our hope, even in experts, we can't fully, and we have to listen to educated people, absolutely, but we can't put our hope fully in anyone outside of God. So 2020 has been one of unknown amount of crisis for each one of us. And it is easy to lose sight of what's next. And it has really put us in a tailspin, right? In our faith, in our hope. In, you know, we can't meet together. Some are meeting, some are not. Everyone has to make that decision. And so it's really put us in unknown, uncharted territories. And so that makes it difficult for us to know where to go next. But today, again, I'm talking about hope. And so what is hope? So we hear about hope, hope of glory, you know, hope this, hope again, hope. We say hope all the time. And so actually there are two types of hope. And so actually, if you'll put that up, there are two types of hope. The first one is worldly hope. And we actually say that and use that one a whole lot more than we do biblical hope, than we do godly hope. And so simply, worldly hope is a commonly used to mean a wish, right? And its strength is in the strength of the person's desire. I hope I get that job. I hope this works out. I hope I didn't just lock my keys in my office, which I just did in real life. I just locked my keys in my office. So we hope that those that didn't happen, but it did happen. So we use the word hope all the time. I hope, you know, I hope my kid gets into this school. I hope that this. And so we will hope, and we will. And I love this definition because it says its strength is in the strength of your desire. So if we hope, you know, we're gonna put all our hope together. I need everybody to hope and to believe, and even some definitions say, you know, optimistic outcomes. All those things are great, but it still relies on you and your strength. So why do we call it worldly strength? Because it's not based on anything bigger than you. It's just based on the strength of your desire. What if your desire is not that strong? Then you're going to easily lose hope, right? If you put all the pressure on you to perform what it is, it's like wishing, hoping, I'm praying, crossing my fingers, good luck, all those things that we don't believe in luck. You know, we don't believe in hope in that way. But what we do believe in is godly hope. But in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. Again, godly hope, you'll put that up there, Ashley. Godly hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength, again, its strength is in his faithfulness. So that's why as believers, we hope in God. We hope in Jesus Christ. We hope in something bigger than us. That's how we can have hope in the midst of crisis. That's how we can have hope in the midst of a pandemic. That's how we can have hope in racial uprising and the things that are going on, in financial issues, in jobs being lost. That's why you can lose your job as a believer and still have hope. Everything around you can crumble. You can lose your business. You can begin to not know what's coming next, and you know how many COVID cases, and what is this, and you know all these things that are going on right now. But that's why you can hope in adversity. You can hope when nothing is going right. Nothing is going right in your life. You can still hope, because if you wish that my finances get better, or you wish that I didn't lose my job, and you're worried every day, and that's where the anxiety and the worry comes, because your worldly hope is based on your strength. So when you exercise your strength, you begin to worry. You begin to be anxious. You begin to try to figure out how I'm going to pay these bills, how am I going to find a new job, how am I going to do this, how my kids going to eat. You begin to take all the load on you, and it becomes too heavy. And you realize, I really can't do a whole lot. And so it begins to wear you down. And then you begin to stress. And then you begin to look, and you can't see anything good, because everything around you is falling apart. And I say this all the time, is believing in something bigger than you. There are plenty of people that have great willpower, that have tremendous strength to overcome things, that can say they're going to do this and do that. But what about when that willpower runs out? What about when that wishing, right, and that strength within your own desire to hope, what about when you can't hope for that thing anymore within your own strength? What then? Then you're depressed. Then you're dark. Then you're hopeless. Because you place your hope in yourself. And we know that we're fragile. We're fickle. As the saying says, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like you can make it and sometimes you don't. But that's where our hope in Christ, that's where our hope in God must come, is that it is the confident expectation. The confident expectation. I need you to get that in your spirit. The confident expectation of what God has promised. What has God promised you? What has God said to you? What has He said to you when you're praying? What has He said to you when you were in a church service? What has He said to you when you're listening to the Word or you're listening to music? What has God said? Those are His promises. And that's where our strength comes from, is knowing that He is faithful to whom He's promised. He is faithful. It relies in it's the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in His faithfulness, not your faithfulness. If that's the case, we're all lost. Because we all at times are unfaithful. Our faith wavers. Sometimes we feel like giving up. Sometimes we just roll over in the bed and like, do I really have to get up? Do I really have to believe? Do I really? We all find ourselves at those places. But again, we put our hope in God. And the strength is in His faithfulness. So let's look at the biblical word hope and what it means. Hope. It's a Hebrew word, bata. Bata. And I don't speak Hebrew or Greek or none of that other stuff, so I give it the best shot I got. But the meaning of it is of confidence, security, and being without care. Again, it has the meaning of confidence, security, and being without care. Think about that. Being able to hope, waking up in the morning with confidence, right? With security, and being without care. Saying it's going to work out. I know I don't have a job right now, but it's going to work out. And someone will say, well, you're really lying. It's like, no. Because I'm not trusting that I somehow am going to do something more than what I can do, apply for jobs, send out resumes. Those are the things that I can do. But I am relying on someone that's bigger than me, someone that has more power, someone that has promised that I would be favored if I would put my life in His hand, if I would trust Him, if I would follow Him, if I would lose my life. He says that He would give me whatever I ask for, anything according to His will. So He promised that never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. It says He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He says if the birds can neither sow nor reap, why do I worry about what I would wear and what I would eat? These are the reasons why we can say we hope in God. Why we can wake up in the morning and realize that the bird has never had a dollar, a penny, a quarter, but it has never woke up worrying about, am I going to find food? Animals have never, you don't see the animals stressed out laying on the side of the road because they don't know if they're going to have, when they're going to find their next meal. God has always provided for the animal. How much more will He provide for us? How much more will He give us what we need? He said, I'll provide all your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll give you what you need. And so hope is the confident assurance in God's faithfulness. When you think about hope, that very simple definition, that hope is a confident assurance in God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, not your faithfulness. We're an unfaithful people. We disappoint God all the time. But when He made a promise, He made a promise based on what He could do. And I'm thankful that even when we are unfaithful, that He is still faithful. So I don't need you to predicate your life on the fact that if you're always faithful, well, you know, I didn't pray yesterday, so, you know, if something bad happens today, it's because God is punishing me. That's not the way God works. That's not the God that we hope in. The one who is faithful, the one that promises that if we would just, it says the faith of a mustard seed. If we would believe, he said he would cast the mountain into the sea. Right? He will begin to work things out. So he needs us to trust us. So hope is the confident assurance in God's faithfulness. Hope is not the strength of your desire. A wish and a hope that this all gets better. What is your hope based on? Hope in what? I believe it's going to get better because I know the God in whom I serve. I know that God will heal and God will deliver and God will eradicate things and God will cause plagues to leave. That's whom I hope in. I don't just hope that, like, well, if I just think about it long enough and I really just like, please, like, COVID go away or this go away or this issue go away or this problem go away. I'm just going to hope it away. No, I'm going to believe in the faithfulness and the truth of God's word. So Romans 8, 24 and 25 says this. Actually, go put that up on the screen. And it challenges us because at times we want to hope in only what we can see. In only what we can see. But Romans 8, 24 and 25 says this. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Again. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. You don't have to trust God for what you see. You never have. When you have the money in your hand, you don't have to trust God to believe that he's going to pay it. You just pay it. So when we hope, again, biblical hope is the confidence and the expectation of what God has promised. And his strength is in his faithfulness to provide. So again, he says, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. We don't like to be patient. We don't like to wait. We want it right now, right now, right now. If God has promised it, we're going to declare God's word, and it should happen right now. Well, I come to tell you that God is not a genie. Can you rub the bottle three times, and then you get three wishes. It is patience. So God, in his infinite wisdom, knows what you can handle and what you can't. God knows what you need when you need it. In our cases, we think that we need everything right now. God, you spoke it, so you have to do it right now. Unfortunately, we can't control God or manipulate God. God is much bigger than us. He tells us that we can declare his word, that we can stand on his word, that even we can remind him of his word. But none of those things indicate that we're going to tell God what to do. He says, wait patiently for the promise. You know, I think about Abraham, and I think about many of the patriarchs that came before us that some did not see the promise of their generation or what God had spoken to them, but it did come to pass. And many, many, if we look in the Hebrews, the chapter of faith where it talks about they were rewarded because they held tight. They held fast to the promise. Even though they didn't see it, they waited patiently. They waited patiently that the promise would happen. And while they didn't see it in their generation, God promised that it would come to pass. And we see that it came to pass in Abraham's life and many of the other patriarchs that God had promised them many things. And it did come to pass. So understand that if you're hoping for things that you can see, that's not really biblical hope. You're just wishing. But we have to hope in what we do not see. Amen. So how do we hope again? That's the name of this sermon. How do we hope again? The answer is really simple. We look. Look at what? You just said, if you can see it. Now, Pastor, hold on. The scripture before, you just said that if you can see it, then it's not really hope. And now you're telling me to look. Well, let's look at the scripture, Hebrews 12 and 2. Not looking at things, not looking at what has already been manifest, but looking to Jesus. Do you want to hope again? Then look to Jesus, who is what? The founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you want to hope again, the very first thing that we must do is look. Look to Jesus. Look to the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The one that promised us and has provided. So he promised that any that come to him would be saved. So if today you are a believer, God has promised that you would be saved. And so when you came to him and his spirit came and indwelt you, and he fulfilled his promise. The one who is faithful and true, the author and the finisher of your faith. So I love these depictions of God in Jesus Christ. Here it talks about him being the founder or the perfecter of our faith. And in the King James, it says the author and the finisher of our faith. You realize that you did not start your faith. You really didn't even come to God lest he draw you. So everything that we live out in this life, he has provided. So to think that, oh, well, I have done something, we honestly have done nothing except use our will, our God-given will, to believe God, to trust him. And so him being the author and the finisher of our faith, why are we really worried? If he provided this great salvation, if he's the author, he wrote the book, he's writing the book of your life, and he said he's going to be the finisher. It didn't call him the incompleter. He says the finisher of your faith. Why would God bring you to this point for you to fail? Why would God bring you to this point to disappoint? Why would God bring you to this point and not write a beautiful story at the end? Why would he bring you to this point? I know of bumps and bruises, of sin, of mishaps, of fall downs. But that's the story of all of our lives. None of us are perfect except Jesus Christ. None of us have walked through this life as a believer and not fell down. Not hit our head, not scraped our knee, not went the wrong direction, not lost our faith, not turned our back on him, not understood when things happen. We've all been in those places. But it is when we hope in him, right, that he's going to keep us in perfect peace, that he's going to cause us to overcome, that he's going to cause us to run and not faint. The author and the finisher of our faith. The author. He's writing the story of your life. You don't even know it. He's directing your course. He's making those crooked places straight. He's writing the story. And he's already written it ahead, but he just hadn't let you see it. He hasn't let you see it. And so as I was thinking about this message and meditating, the thing that kept coming to him about being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Just think about that. God being the Alpha and the Omega. So that's the first and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So in our English language, it would be, he's the God of A to Z, right? A to Z. He's the God of everything, every letter in between, every word in between, every crisis, every problem. But then he's also the God of every blessing and all favor, and that he's going to work things out. Think about what's between A to Z. Everything. 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 So when crisis comes, he says, well, you're a conqueror, right? When failure comes, he says, you know, you are faithful. So think about everything between A to Z. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm everything that you need me to be and more. I am more than what even the English and whatever the world language can even comprehend and begin to express God as being. You know, I always refer to when Pharaoh asked, who is this God? Or Moses went to God and said, who do I tell him you are? And he says, tell him that I am that I am. And so when we enlarge God, when we see that he's so much bigger than corona, financial problems, economy, and businesses going down, and jobs lost, and all these things, like we get caught up in the now. We get caught up in the very small. And I'm not saying that it doesn't affect you. It affects all of us. We're all frustrated, and we're all at a point where we're like, God, please, let us go back to church. Let us be able to come back together. Let us come. Let us do all these things. It's a real emotion. But we allow those things to drown out our hope. We allow these things, these very temporary, because this is temporary. This won't be forever. Let me tell you that right now, that this is not forever. These temporary sorrows drowned out the bigness of God. Drowned out the fact that God has caused us to overcome in every situation, caused us to be above only and not beneath, to be the head and not the tail. We allow these very temporary sufferings to drown out the hope of his glory, the hope of what he has promised you, the hope that this is going to get better, not because you wish strong enough, but because you trusted him to be faithful. You trusted him to do exactly what he said he would do. He is the A to Z God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher. Why are you worrying? I know we all worry, but why are you worrying? He says, cast all your care. So when that worry comes, you cast it onto one that's bigger that can hold it up. And so earlier, you know, when we hope in ourselves, we begin to drift, and we begin to go down, and we begin to lose strength, and we begin to find ourselves wobbling, and I just can't bear all this. But when you cast them on him, you can begin to gain your strength, right? He says, instead of worry, he said, pray. He said, cast your cares on me, because I care for you. He cares enough that you can throw, pitch, sling, kick, whatever you got to do, that worry, that frustration, that anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And he says, I can take it. When he died on the cross, he died that we would be made whole. He said, it's done. It's finished. God is not trying to figure out how to get us through this pandemic. He's not trying to get us trying to figure out how to get us through racial injustice. He said, all of this is going to work out for your good. All of this is going to work out. It's all going to work out for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So will it work out for everybody? No. Will it work out for believers? Yes. And someone said, well, that's not fair. And but that's what his word says, is those that trust him, those that know him, are we all children of God? Well, we're all created by God. But the reality is that you have to take your life and put it in his hands. He says, forget not all my benefits. So I have a job and I have benefits. Well, guess what? I can't go to Kelly's job and get her benefits. She signed up. She comes to work every day. I can't say, well, because you have benefits, I should get your benefits too. It don't work like that. That's just like the kingdom. You got to trust him with your life. If you like all the things that I've said today, you like all the hope, and you like putting in someone bigger than yourself, and it relieves your stress, he says, come. Come. All I need is your heart. All I need is you to trust me today. And so sometimes we can broaden the stroke of who God promises to bless in order to make people feel comfortable. But the gospel's never been comfortable. And so I want to encourage you today that if you don't know him, or if you left him, even during this pandemic, you kind of turned your back and said, where is God? But then you hear his voice calling you. And he says, come. He says, come. Because I want to bless you. I want to turn things around in your life. I want to make things better. But I need you to trust me. I need you to believe that I am who I said I am. That I am the great I am. That I will cause you to win and not lose. I will cause you to go. I am the God of A to Z. Just think about that. The God of A to Z. Everything that you would need. And that includes every crisis that you face. I'm the God of that. But then I'm the God of every blessing. Every open door. Every way. I'm that God. I'm the God of A to Z. So the last scripture for this point, you know, and we quote this all the time, is Hebrews 11 and 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So now we will focus on, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We skip right over hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. hope for. And then he explains the evidence of things not seen. So God today is telling you, believe in what you cannot see. No one has seen God and lived. So we believe in a God that we have not seen. Now we have experienced him. We've experienced his power. We've experienced his presence. We've experienced his life-changing salvation. But when we quote this scripture so many times, if you'll put that up there, Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for. Hope for. Hope for. Hope for. The things you're expecting from God. The things that you are believing. The things that you are confidently believing God for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Those things that you're hoping for. That promise that you're hoping for. The fact that God is bigger than your problem. You're hoping, believing in something bigger than you. It says, now, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So we skip right over hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I can only quote the King James, this ESV or something. So, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. Substance of things that I confidently am assured that God will do. Confidently assured that God will do. Now, faith is the assurance of the things hoped for. I'll ask you now, what are you hoping and believing God for? I need you to think about it. I need you to type it in the chat. I need you to say it out loud. What things are you hoping for God to do? What things are you confidently, assuredly believing God to do in your life? I need you to think about those. Because the pandemic and all these things that are going on right now, we lose sight. We can't see any longer the hope. We can't see any longer what's happening. We can't see any longer the blessings that God promised. We can't see, like, we've been in the house too long and we've been isolated too long and we've been on these islands and we've been so separated that we can't see anymore. We're blinded. We're blinded by despair. We're blinded by temporary situations. We're blinded. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we're blinded. And so as I was looking and studying and I came across this scripture, and of course it goes so perfectly with being blinded. Ephesians 1 and 18. Actually, it's the last slide. Ephesians 1 and 18 says this, and this is my prayer. I have a few more things that talk about the reward of hope. What is the reward of hope? But this is one of the rewards of hope. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. This is my prayer, is that having the eyes of your heart enlightened, our eyes can be darkened at times, our heart darkened, that we can no longer see the hope of Christ. We can no longer see the hope of his glory. We can no longer see the hope of salvation. We can no longer see the hope that we one day will no longer even be here. That this place is temporary. We're but pilgrims passing through. We're but visitors here on this earthly planet waiting to rejoice in heaven, waiting to go to heaven. Our eyes can be so dim. Our heart can be so heavy. It can be so darkened by everything that we're facing. But here in Ephesians, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, right? That they may be opened, that you may come into, we always talk about enlightenment or people who's into like mysticism and all this stuff. It's like, oh, I came into this enlightenment. The only enlightenment I want is that Christ enlightened my eyes, that he opens my heart. Because enlightenment to anything else could be anything else. I want to know that what I'm enlightened to is safe, that is sure. And so I'm not going to be opened up to anything. I'm not going to be enlightened by anything that is the hope of Christ and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So when he opens your eyes up to make you remember that he called you to a glorious hope in Christ Jesus, and he says the riches of his glorious inheritance. We're all going to get an inheritance, right? Is everybody going to be rich here on earth? No, that's not what I'm saying. He says, storing up your treasures in heaven. The lives we lead, the things that we do, the lives that we go about helping and giving, we're sowing into our heavenly treasure chest. Will we be blessed there? Absolutely. God will bless and open up doors and get you jobs, and you can get a career and get your education, all those things. Those are not necessarily synonymous with God. Those are just synonymous with hard work. Those are synonymous with, now God will favor you and open doors. I'm not saying that. But the fact of necessarily being rich and all those things, those are great. You work hard. God favors you, opens doors, great invention, great idea. He can bless all that stuff. But we have to look further than that. Because he says you can't put your hope in what will rust, or what moss can come and tear up, or what thieves can come and steal. So we can't put our hope in riches. We can't put our hope in degrees and businesses and all those things. We have to think about our inheritance, what will come when we pass through this life, because we know that today, tomorrow's not promised. The next minute is not promised. So we store up for now, and we have nothing left in heaven. We put nothing in heaven because we think this is our home. So he says, hope again. Hope in what we should hope in. Don't hope in all the things that are temporal. Believe and ask God for them and declare them. But at the end of the day, our true inheritance is the riches of his glory and inheritance in his holy people. So our eyes and our hearts will be enlightened. And for just a couple more scriptures and I'm done. Jeremiah 29:11 is very popular. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Every believer, every blood-covered believer, every person that has trusted God with their life today, you can claim that God has a future and a hope for you, that his welfare, his plans for you are not evil. No matter what happens, no matter what he allows, his plans are not evil. They are not to destroy you. They are not to cause you harm. But he says, for to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. The plans I have for you, the plans I have for you, the plans I have for you, God hasn't changed his mind. Even in our fickleness, even in our faithlessness, even in our struggle, even when our eyes and our hearts have darkened, God still says, I have a plan. I have a plan. I haven't changed my mind. I have not repented. I have not changed my mind on your calling, on how I'm going to bless you, the doors I'm going to open. He says, I have not changed my mind. There is a future and a hope. 1 Peter 5:10. He says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. That's 1 Peter 5:10. I need you to hold on to that as you go through this week. He says that after you've suffered a while. So we've suffered a while. We're still suffering. But he says after you suffered a while. That's why I said these are, Paul called them temporary affliction. These temporary afflictions, after you suffered a while, he said, I will restore you. And I will support you. And I will strengthen you. And I will place you on a firm foundation. I believe the King James talks about maturing you. He matures you. But I love what the message said. It's that same 1 Peter 5:10 in the message. It says, the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. Think about that. His glorious plans are to put you together and back on your feet for good. That's a promise. That's something that we can declare and we can stand that, God, you said that your plans for me are good and not of evil. There's evil things that happen, but at the end of the day, I hope in someone bigger than myself. I hope in something bigger than the destruction that I see all around me. I hope in something bigger than anything, than any opinion that people would say, than anything that's going on, no matter what the doctor says, and no matter what specialists say, and no matter what the CDC says, is that we hope in God. We know that he can turn around anything that we are facing. And the last one is Isaiah 40:31. Understand that the only way we build up our faith is through the word. It's through the word. And so Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and shall not faint. Those are the blessings, the rewards of hoping, is that as you trust God, He says, I'll give you a future and a hope. He says, I'll strengthen you and support you and strengthen you. I'll give you a foundation. He says, I'll enlighten the eyes of your heart. Maybe they were darkened. Maybe they got overshadowed. Maybe they got covered. But He says, I will bear you up, mount you up with wings like eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. I know some of you all felt like you were going to faint today, that you had no more strength, that you just didn't know which way to go, what to do. God says, I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. There's a future and a hope. There's a firm foundation. I will restore what was lost and more. I will restore what the enemy's soul will have to return it. Right? God says He will give it to you seven times. Amen. And so understand that we can be looking for what we had, but God is going to give us more. I think about the testimonies of businesses that have been opened during a pandemic. While some people lost jobs, some people opened businesses. That favor came upon them. That God has blessed and opened doors. That God has done great things. That God has kept people. I know that there are lots of bad stories. And we pray that God would undergird you and build you up. That God would bless you. That God would open the door for you. But there are cases where God is doing great things. And so we stand in that confident hope that God is changing situations. That He's causing you to overcome. And even if your situation doesn't change today or tomorrow, I need you to change today. I need you to hope again. I need you to confidently, the confident expectation of what God has promised. And it is His strength. And it is His strength and His faithfulness. So we don't trust in ourselves anymore. I don't need you to trust you anymore, but I need you to trust in Jesus Christ. I need you to trust that He is the author and the finisher of your faith. I need you to trust that He is the God from A to Z. If you don't, you're like, well, you didn't talk about my problem today. I don't have to. By the Spirit of God, He's saying that every problem from A to Z. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. If your problem is between A and Z, God says, I have it. I have it. I have it. I have it. You know, He says, I'll give you joy for ashes. Some of us feel like our lives are burnt to the ground, that we have nothing else left. He says, oil, the oil of gladness for mourning. The oil of gladness for mourning. And this is not anything anyone else can do. He says, the oil of gladness for mourning. He says, beauty for ashes. If you feel like that your life has been burnt to the ground, that there's nothing else left, then this message was for you. He says, beauty for ashes. How does that work? I, and no one here, can turn beauty into ashes. The thing that's left from what was. But God says, I will make it beautiful. I'll rebuild it. He says, I'll make it strong. But you know what that means? It means something new. Something new, beauty for ashes. I mean, He's going to give you something new. If I burn this up, nothing left but ashes. He says, I'll give you something new. I'll give you something new that you've never seen before. So what I need you to do is not look for the old, but I need you to look for the new. I need you to look for what God is doing, and I need you to meet God there. The direction that God is taking you, the place that He is trying to get you to, because for whatever reason, this wasn't for you. This wasn't for you. This wasn't for you. Sometimes we spend our lives looking for what was. We spend our lives looking for what got tore up and broke up, what got messed up, why it didn't all work out. But He says, hope again. Hope again that while this is gone, He says, I have something new for you. I have something better. I have something that's going to give you joy and peace. I'm going to give you something that you can rejoice in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, hope again. Hope again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I must obey, Carlos, even as I was just preaching just now, and that scripture is nowhere on my sheet. But when he says the oil of gladness for mourning, and I know you're mourning, but I pray supernaturally that God would give you the oil of gladness, that he would build you up, that he would strengthen you through your time of sorrow, through your time of pain, that he would supernaturally give you joy and peace that passeth understanding. That mourning is okay. It's natural. It's human. But that you would have joy. Oil. Meaning oil. Oil goes everywhere. That joy, oil, the oil of God would be all on you. That you would experience his joy and his peace even in the midst of this loss. And all the questions and all the what ifs and all that stuff only God can answer. All the whys. But the oil of God for sorrow. That he would be everything that you need right now. That he would keep your heart in perfect peace. You just keep it stayed on him. You keep worshiping. You keep playing. You keep giving it to him. It's all right to cry. It's all right to mourn. He says the oil of gladness. The oil of gladness would be your portion. Hallelujah. So today, maybe you've lost all hope. The man Jesus Christ is here. And he wants you to just believe him. He wants you to hope again. He wants you to hope that things are going to turn around. That things are going to work out in your life, not because of all the things you do. You do your part. But he says, trust me. Hope is the confident assurance in God's faithfulness. It's a very simple definition. Hope is confident assurance in God's faithfulness. Hope is confident assurance in God's faithfulness. So if you've lost hope today, I need you to believe in someone bigger than yourself. Believe in someone bigger than you. Someone who says that I am that I am. No one stands beside me. Your problem is not too big. You haven't gone too far. You may have turned your back on God, but he's saying come. He's saying come. Come back to me. You may not have all the way left. You might say, you might have questioned God to the point where it's like, God, I don't even know if you're real. Well, today he's saying come back. He said he's married to the backslider. He's married to those that would turn away. Life is hard at times. And trust me, God gets it. Jesus was tempted at every point to give up, even before he died on the cross. But he said, God, not your will, but my will. But your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. So today as I pray that you would, firstly, if you don't know Christ, that you would accept him into your heart, that you would believe that he is the God of hope. And he rewards those that diligently seek him. He rewards those that would put their faith, put their life into his hand. That they would dedicate their lives. That you would admit that you are a sinner and that you need Christ. That you've walked away. That you've gone too far. That you need to come back to him. He says he welcomes you. He welcomes you. And God, I thank you for every person, God, that's praying that prayer, that's accepting you back into the heart, God, that you would strengthen them, God, that you would give them a new hope, God, that you would build them up, God, that you would cause them to see you in all of your splendor, God, that they would feel a release of anxiety and fear, that they would experience, God, your wholeness and your fullness, God. Oh, God, that you, God, would love on them. Love on them. And for those that are struggling with their hope today, I need you to be confident of this one thing, that he that begun the work shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And oh God, I pray, God, for every believer, every person under my voice, every person that would watch the replay, God, that they would confidently be assured in your faithfulness to cause them to overcome. Oh God, to cause a new light to come into the heart and mind. God, I bind the hands of the enemy. God, I bind sickness and disease. I bind depression. I bind oppression. God, I bind everything, God, that's not of you. Oh God, but I speak peace and life, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I speak hope. Oh God, I speak joy. God, I speak that the God of hope, I would fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Ghost may abound in hope. Hallelujah. I pray the Holy Spirit would rise up inside of you even now, that He would cause you to flourish, that you would have a new outlook on life, that He would give you beauty for the ashes, that He would give you the oil of gladness for mourning, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, God, that through your supernatural power, God, that you're doing it. God, that you're building up the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. God, every person, God, under the sound of my voice, God, that they would be filled with hope, filled with joy, filled with peace. Oh, God, that they would walk out of this place, that they would leave, that they would cut that phone off or that TV, walk away saying, God, I know you can do it. God, I know you can do it. God, I know you can do it. God, I trust you. I trust you, God. I trust you that you're going to establish me, that you're going to support me, that you're going to strengthen me, that you're going to cause my feet to be good, God, to go in good places, God. Oh, God, that you're going to put me together. Oh, God, that you have a future and a hope for me. God, we thank you. We praise you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Can we give God a hand clap of praise for all of his promises, for everything that he's done, hallelujah, in this place, that he's changing us. He's enlightening us. He's opening our eyes to the new, not the old. He's opening us up to the new, a new way to walk, a new way to think, a new way to talk. Are you ready to hope again? I pray that you are. Amen. I pray that you are ready to hope again. I don't care what you feel like. I need you to know. I need you to confidently be assured of the God in whom you serve and what he's promised to you, that if he said it, he will do it. If it's in his word, it's a promise for you. Whether it's been spoken over you, I need you to get in there and find the promises of God. That he said he would establish you and keep you, that he would build you. Amen. And so we have our ways to give. We thank God for everyone that's giving, everyone that has stepped out on faith, even during these tough times, to be able to give, that you would continue to give. We pray that God would bless you, that he would increase you, that he would take your faith to another level in giving. As we've seen, God, as people have continued to give, that the Bible talks about that there's seed for the sower. Amen. And so if you're not a sower and you don't have any seed, maybe you should try to sow today. Because that's a promise. He says, as long as there's seed time and harvest. He says, there's seed for the sower. What farmer doesn't sow seed so that he can have more seed to have? He can have more seed to plant. Amen. So we challenge you to give. To give. Not from a legalistic standpoint, but we give because we love God. We give because we want to please God. And we give because God has given so much to us. He tells us to be good stewards of everything that he's given us. And so I speak a blessing. I pray even now that God would increase you in every way. That he would cause your bushel to run over, that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you wouldn't have room enough to receive. So our ways to give are 859. You can do text to give, which is 859-888-1190. Cash app is $RCCLex. Of course, you can go on our website, remnant-communitychurch.com. Click on online giving. You can give there. You can mail a check, 1125 Commercial Drive, Lexington, Kentucky, 40511. So again, thank you all for everyone that chooses to obey God and give. We speak blessings over you. For those that are struggling in your faith, I pray that God would give you the faith to be able to give.